Well, morning, folks. Welcome if you're here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace, or hi if you're up in the gallery. And if you're joining us online, then g'day. We think it's awesome that you're joining us as we continue to prepare for Christmas. Last time, we used the Old Testament story of Ruth to help us think about the hope we have in the coming of Jesus. Today, I want us to think about peace. I think of all the four things, hope, peace, love and joy, I find peace the hardest one to think about. But we're going to give it a go this morning. I know, as Louise alluded to, that the idea of peace and Christmas don't always seem to go together very well. We sing peace on earth, goodwill to men and women and children, but still seem such a long way away from peace on earth. And for many people, Christmas is one of the most stressful and least peaceful times of the year. And I remember as a child not having too much peace the closer that Christmas got. Not the night before Christmas anyway. And I don't think I was too unusual in that regard. Kids have a hard time being peaceful waiting for Christmas. You know what I mean. The letter said, "Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be Christmas cake for you, but if you're real hungry, you can use our phone to order pizza to go. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time, but sometimes I'm wild. Dear Santa," from a four-year-old, "I'll take anything because I haven't been that good." "Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-a-Sketch animator, two packs of number two pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own colour TV." "Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish." Christmas is often associated with waiting. But for so many of us, kids and adults alike, the waiting is for what's in the box. The waiting is for what we want. And waiting and peace, they don't seem to go together so well. Waiting seems to take away our peace. Do you remember waiting at Christmas, particularly if you were a kid, for something that you really wanted? You dropped hints everywhere. You wrote letters to Santa Claus. You even tried hard to be nice to your brother and your sister during the countdown to Christmas. And that wasn't so easy to do. When Christmas morning finally came, you jumped out of bed, you ran to the tree, you looked for a box with your name on it. So let me ask you a question this morning, and we're going to think about it more as we celebrate communion. What are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you longing for? What are you expecting to receive? Are you looking forward to anything special this Christmas? In the Gospel of Luke, we come across two characters who make their appearance in the final acts of the Christmas drama. One man is named Simeon, the other is a woman named Anna. They don't appear in any nativity scenes, they aren't in many Christmas cards, but they're significant players in the first Christmas event. Both of these individuals were waiting for something. Actually, they were waiting for someone, and they wouldn't be at peace until he arrived. In fact, Luke uses the Greek word. It literally means that they were alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. It's a good question for us at Christmas time. Are we alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him? In Luke 2:25, we read in reference to Simeon that he was waiting. And in Luke 2:38, to describe the woman named Anna, she was looking forward to. So as we prepare to look at Simeon and Anna for a minute, let's pray. Lord, we always seem to be waiting on you for something. Even peace is not something that we can manufacture. And there are so many parts of our lives where it feels like we need some peace. So help us as we look at Simeon and help us as we look at Anna this morning, and as we prepare for Christmas, to give ourselves again over to you so that peace might reign in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simeon was looking for a particular kind of peace. He was looking for a peace that comes from comfort. We're introduced to Simeon in Luke 2:25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Simeon was clearly a religious person, a faithful person. It says he was righteous before people and he was devout in his relationship with God. Of course, in Simeon's time, things weren't going really well for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard God's voice for many years and they were dominated by Roman rule. They'd lost their political independence and they were living in fear of the capable and the crafty and the cruel King Herod. And I thought God was talking to me. And many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. I've done it, Lucy. Never mind. Verse 26 says, Simeon had good reason for his hope and anticipation. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon's expectation, Simeon's hope, Simeon's peace was focused on the comfort that Jesus would bring. Among the Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles of Messiah was Comforter. Like some of the Christmas songs we just sang, they were longing for the Messiah to come and bring his comfort to them. Folks, it strikes me that the desire to be comforted is a universal human need. We all struggle with loneliness, emptiness, insecurity, desperation. In fact, the Christmas season is one of the major crisis times of the year for depression and suicide. The Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts at just the right time, on just the right day, that Joseph and Mary were bringing their infant to the temple. And when Simeon looked at the baby Jesus, now about 6 weeks old, the end of Candlemas, if you're here right at the beginning of 40 days after Christmas, he knew that God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, God with us, making everything right with God to provide significance by his presence and to eliminate rejection and fear and loneliness. Verse 28 of Luke 2 says that Simeon reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to praise God. Probably wouldn't happen today. I mean, parents, imagine how you'd feel if some old man came up to you and took your baby out of your arms and started singing out loud. Probably a bit unsettling for Joseph and Mary. But Simeon didn't look all that dangerous, I guess, and he broke out into praise and he acknowledged that God had not only fulfilled the individual promise to him, but also the promises of the prophets to send the anointed one to comfort both Jews and Gentiles. Simeon, it says, was now at peace. Anna, on the other hand, was waiting for forgiveness. Verse 28 of Luke 2, After her husband had died, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says that Anna never left the temple but worshipped day and night. She could have filled all 365 slots of the Bible reading marathon all by herself. Every day she was at the temple worshipping. She was looking forward to the same person as Simeon was, but for a different reason. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. Anna's peace was bound up with her need for forgiveness. Take a look at verse 38. We'll come back here. No, we didn't get it right. It's disappeared. I'll have to read it for you. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. The Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from Egyptian slavery stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, that Passover pointed ahead to that day when God would provide deliverance from the slavery of sin. And when Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke to him of all who were waiting for redemption. Here at last was the one who would save his people from their sins. Jesus provides the peace that we need. Friends, when Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were waiting for: God's peace through comfort, God's peace through forgiveness. So let me tighten up the question I asked you at the beginning. What kind of peace are we waiting for this Christmas? Simeon's comfort, Anna's forgiveness. What kind of peace are you looking for this Christmas? Whatever it is, Jesus can give it to us. Some of us might be able to identify with Simeon. Some of us are really hurting now. We feel lonely, empty, afraid, maxed out. Do we need the peace of comfort? Do we need a fresh sense of God's presence? If so, we can find what we're looking for in Jesus. He came to console us right where we are. Or do we identify more with Anna? Are we plagued with a sense of guilt this Christmas because of something we've done or something that we haven't done? Do we feel like we're trapped in a pattern of sin we can't break of? If we need forgiveness, Jesus can give that to us today. There's no better time than Christmas to seek the one that is called the Prince of Peace. Here are just a couple of little action steps from this passage that will help us experience, I think, the peace of Jesus' comfort or the peace of Jesus' forgiveness. It's three things that we can do. Now, if we can see if we can find them. First thing we can do is become a marveler. I don't even know if that's a word, and I certainly don't know if I've spelled it right. Somebody will tell me later on. When Joseph and Mary tried to process everything that was happening, verse 33 says that they marveled at what was said about Jesus. According to the dictionary, a marveler is filled with wonder and astonishment and surprise. Am I a marveler this Christmas? Or am I too caught up in the busyness and stress of the season? Have you been running around because of the holidays? Or are you taking the time to make Christmas a holy day? Has Christmas become too predictable, too familiar? Have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer astonishes you? Folks, this can be a dangerous time of the year for us. Our annual celebration of Christmas can immunize us to its reality. We hear just enough of the story each year to inoculate us against the real thing so that we never really catch true Christmas fever. So here's one idea that may help you recapture something of Christmas. This morning, I want you to pick one of the Christmas characters and put yourself in their sandals. And over the next 2 weeks, I want you to imagine what it must have been like for them that Christmas. So pick one: Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, I don't care. Pick one. You done that in your mind? Who's the character that you're going to think of over the next 2 weeks to help you enter into what Christmas is about? The second thing we can do is become a mover. Verse 27 about Simeon said, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Verse 38 about Anna said, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. When the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they didn't sit still. Actually, every one of the Christmas characters is a mover except for Herod. Isn't that interesting? Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." Joseph demonstrated he was a mover when he woke up from his dream, did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and took Mary home as his wife. The shepherds were movers. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened." The wise men saw the star and moved out of their comfort zone to find the King of Christmas. Friends, when God prompts us to do something, we need to do it. It might mean salvation for some of us. It might mean full surrender for others of us. Or maybe the Spirit wants us to be more involved with serving people. I don't know. But something you can ask yourself this morning is, how does the Spirit of God want me to move this Christmas? Are you a mover? Are you willing to move? Don't procrastinate when God prompts you to do something. Otherwise, we miss the miracle of Christmas. I'm struck by what Simeon told Mary in verse 34. Must have taken her breath away. "This child, your baby, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. That's not really a joyful Christmas greeting, is it? Simeon's not saying Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Rather, he pauses, he clears his throat, he tells her that Christmas will never be merry and New Year will never be happy until people get moving and surrender their lives to Jesus. Here's the truth. Christmas splits people into two camps. Since Jesus has entered the world, he's divided the human race. He will cause the falling and rising of many because of who he is. And there's powerful imagery in Scripture. Jesus is either a rock we build our life on, that's the sense of rising, or he's the rock that we stumble over. That's the meaning of falling. So on the cusp of Christmas, Jesus is calling each of us to a decision, a willingness to move and respond by which we either rise or fall. We can't stay neutral about Jesus. We're either for him or against him. We're moving closer to him or further away. We either have the Son or we don't. Last one, become a messenger. Interestingly, as we work at becoming marvelers, we can't help but becoming movers, and that leads to the final action step, become a messenger. Notice verse 38 again. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Do we have family and friends caught up in preparations for Christmas? Look at it this way. Maybe their anticipation and maybe their longings really represent an inner search for comfort or forgiveness, those things that only Jesus can provide. God wants each one of us to become messengers of the Christmas story. As you and I become marvelers and wonder, the wonder of Christmas will astonish us. As we become movers, our need for forgiveness and comfort will be met. And as we take our role as messengers seriously, we'll be in a position to introduce others to the Christ of Christmas. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collection with his son. In their home, they had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh. Van Gogh? How do you say that properly? Gogh? Okay. All around the walls of the family estate. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation. And the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram to say that his son had died. Distraught, lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays and with anguish and with sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door woke the old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son wasn't coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who said, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist and then he gave the old man the package. As he tore off the paper, it gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. And that task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift that he'd been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces of art for which museums around the world were clamoring. The following spring, the old man died. The art collection, the art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he'd received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived. Art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that wasn't on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. Who'll open the bidding with $100? The auctioneer said, no one spoke. Finally, someone said, who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff. The auctioneer responded, no, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son? And finally, a neighbor of the old man offered $10. That's all I have. He says, I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. The auctioneer said, going once, going twice, gone. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. Someone exclaimed, now we can bid on the real treasures. The auctioneer looked at a room full of people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for the painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on? And the auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all. Puts things kind of in perspective, doesn't it? The message is the same this Christmas. Because of the Father's love, whoever takes the Son gets it all. Whoever takes the Son gets peace and hope and joy and love. It's only one real question. Will you take him this Christmas? You're invited to a birthday party at Christmas. It's the birthday of Jesus. It's his party. It's the Son's party. But he wants to give you a present. He wants to give you the gift of himself. Will you take him? Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for the gift of true peace. True peace that's not found in a gift under a tree, but true peace himself was put on a tree called the cross. We pray this Christmas that your Holy Spirit would do one thing for us. One beautiful, one marvelous thing. Display to us how awesome Jesus is. That you would meet us and that we would see him for all that he is and that we would be overwhelmed by his grace and his mercy and his love. That's our request. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, will you read with me? I am leaving you with a gift of peace. Oh, how did that go? Can't read a thing if that's happening. Did I do that? Oh, dear.
The waters are raging.
Can I get back to my... Is that Anna? I think. Okay. Let me read it and I'll see if we catch up. Now that's way towards the end. Okay. Go back here. Okay. So there we go. Thank you. So let's try again. I'll keep my thumbs off the button. Okay. Where are you? I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus said that on the night he was betrayed. The night when he took bread and broke it. And he told his disciples, this is my body broken for you. He said that on the night that he gave them wine and he said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Now the disciples, they were good Jewish boys. Who understood that there was only one day a year that sins could be forgiven, and that was through the sacrifice of an unblemished lamb. Now Jesus the Messiah is saying, "I'm that lamb, but don't be worried. Though I'm going to be leaving, though I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to make a place for you, but don't be worried and don't be afraid." And then he drops this on them. He says, "And it's good that I'm leaving because I'm going to send a helper, which we know is the Holy Spirit, and the helper is going to help you do greater works than me." In other words, it's just one of me now, but when the helper comes, he's going to fill all of you. But don't be worried, I'm going to give you the gift of peace. I don't know about you, but if I was in that upper room, I'd have been a little worried. I wouldn't have had very much peace knowing that the one I was going to follow is going to brutally die, and that I've abandoned everything to follow this so-called Messiah, and he's going to die. But he says, "I'm going to give you a gift of peace of mind and heart." I want us to think about that as we just receive some bread and some grape juice. I want to ask you to hold it for a minute. As you think on that question, I haven't asked somebody, so come on guys, down the front row, you're wonderful. While you receive these, I want you to think about... So you knew you were in the front row for the reason, didn't you? Think about the question I asked you about what peace you are looking for this Christmas. Oh, volunteers everywhere.
Thank you.
Has everybody who's sharing got some? Okay. As you think about peace, I want you to read a few Bible verses with me. Because I think there's a couple of sorts of peace that God can give us. God can give us authentic peace with himself. Read with me Romans. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. In other words, God said, come as you are, and by faith I make you right. Through faith in Jesus, everything that Jesus did right is credited to us as a free gift. I think Jesus gives us authentic peace in the midst of our circumstances. Read it with me. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I think God can give us authentic peace with others. You know, people like you and me are dysfunctional and broken, and we hurt each other. That's why we need a Savior to put us back together. Romans says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And lastly, we learn that Jesus gives us peace in the face of death. Writing to the Hebrews, Paul says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Folks, we can unwrap the gift of peace this Christmas. The body of Christ broken for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus who is authentic peace. Thank you that we can unwrap that gift this morning. Jesus, I believe that on the cross you took my place so that I could be forgiven and have peace with the Father. I believe that for 3 days you were dead, but on the third day you rose again. You ascended back to heaven to rule the kingdom of heaven. Now through the Spirit's power, you live and rule in me. This morning I give you my life and I receive your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.